Good evening, my name is Zachary Dorholt. I'm a candidate for state representative in House District 14B, which is half of St. Cloud, including where you're sitting today. University Drive is the dividing line, so if you live by the hockey center, you're on the A side. This side, you're on the B side. It gets a little confusing, which I believe is part of why we sometimes have a hard time for people showing up like this. And the last time I've seen this among students show up for a political debate was back in 2004 when I was a student here. So this is really cool. I got my undergrad and one of my master's here at St. Cloud State. My freshman year tuition was $1,200, and back then I had a job that paid $9.50 an hour. I was able to pretty much pay cash that first semester. By the time I had graduated, tuition had more than doubled. When I did graduate, I had some student debt, like most folks did, but I was able to wrap that in at 2% interest. Then I came back to grad school a few years later, and tuition had skyrocketed, as all of you know, and interest rates have gone up. We've been drowning students in debt after telling them they need to go to college for well over a decade now. I'm a dad, I'm a counselor, I'm a musician. My full-time job here in St. Cloud, I'm a licensed professional clinical counselor at the Central Minnesota Mental Health Center, where I work with adults who live with serious and persistent mental illness, such as schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. The people I work with are from all walks of life, whether they're right off the street, out of the hospital, or have PhDs and live with depression. It's, I guess, the passion I have for people in the shadows is why I'm running for office again. Thank you.
Well, first of all, thank you to the Republicans and Democrats for setting up this debate, and thank you for all of you coming here. Just a little bit of background on myself. I am Jim Knobloch. I'm the current state representative in District 14B. I was born and raised in St. Cloud. I went through the St. Cloud public school system. Whoa, how about that? I attended St. Cloud State for a while, but eventually graduated from St. John's University with a degree in business and economics. I was very fortunate to then be accepted to Harvard, and I went to Harvard, got an MBA, later on got a master's in government from Georgetown University. Like Dan, I'm in the real estate business, and so I know a lot about negotiating with people and trying to get people to come to a deal. And I have been in the legislature before. I got elected in 2014, but I was in the legislature in the late 90s and the 2000s. In 2006, I decided to get out of the legislature, went back into the private sector, but again, went back in 2014 and actually got named to chair a committee now called the Committee on Ways and Means. But when I was in before, I chaired the bonding committee. I was able to get people to come to a deal. There weren't any bonding bills that didn't happen the years I was there, and one of the bills that I carried was the bill that built the building that you are in right now, the Miller Library. In fact, I carried a lot of bills for really redoing a lot of St. Cloud State, Centennial Hall, Brown, Riverview, Lawrence, this building. I've got a lot of love for St. Cloud State, and so it's great to be here, and I look forward to your questions and talking more.
All right, we'll begin now our round of questions. First one will be directed at Zach Dorholt. It is, you have 2 minutes. The St. Cloud area is near multiple colleges and universities. What would you do, if anything, to decrease student debt?
Well, once again, it's the first thing I brought up. We're speaking to students here, many of which will end up with a lot of student debt. I have more than my fair share. And when I did serve during the 2013-14 session, we froze tuition. Minsky and the University of Minnesota, that's the first step to decreasing debt. It stopped the skyrocketing costs of college. We also created and started a program to help folks refinance their student loans at a lower interest rate. And like I said, today you can get a used car loan for cheaper than you can student loans. And I think that's robbery. You shouldn't be making money off of people making an investment in all of our future. Because this education you're going to get isn't just for you. Is for our entire country, our state, and our community. We're all in this together. And we're also all in this $1 trillion debt nationwide. I'd love to be able to address this on a federal issue, but we have. This is near and dear to me, and if elected, I'm going to work to freeze tuition for a full biennium, a real, genuine freeze, and start funding the programs that will help folks refinance their loans at a more reasonable rate than the Fed's carried off for right now. Thank you.
Jim Knoblock, same question. St. Cloud area is near multiple colleges and universities. What would you do, if anything, to decrease student debt?
Well, this is a very important issue, and it's an issue that I've worked on before. I actually spent 3 years on the Board of Regents at St. John's University, and so I've been involved in many, many discussions in terms of how can we make college affordable for students, how can we get students to get to a college without a huge amount of debt. But I've also been involved at the legislative level on this. If you go back 2 years ago, I was one of the people in 2015 that was a champion for a significant increase in funding to the MinSCU system and a significant increase in funding more for MinSCU than the U of M, which if you look at the per student funding, gets vastly more money per student in state money than the MinSCU system does. We, in the bill that we eventually passed that governs the MinSCU system right now, we had for those people who are from families that don't get Pell Grants, don't get state grants, we had about a 3% increase in the first year, and then this year we froze tuition. And so like Zach, I think that we really need to try to keep tuition under control, particularly for those people who are from needy families, from challenged families. You know, free college tuition for everyone would be nice, but on the other hand, you know, people who are from wealthy families, I think that they need to be able to contribute. People who can afford it need to be able to pay, because it costs money to run an institution like this and run it right and give everyone a good education. Beyond that, though, we also need to look at some of the things that are driving costs. We need to look at various things within the college system. The MinSCU home office is a significant driver of cost that takes a lot of student funding. There are a lot of administrative costs, and if you look historically, we're spending a lot more of the budget on administration than we used to. Another bill I supported that passed this last year would use technology more to get rid of the increasing cost of textbooks. That's a big, big cost, as all of you know, and as someone who's got a couple of kids in college knows, too. So those are a few ideas I would have, and I see my time is up, so I'll move on to the next question. Or I guess I give it to Zach.
Yeah. Zach, you get up to a minute to amend your original answer.
Let's see if I get this all in with a minute. So during my opponent's tenure, tuition rose by 160%. I was a freshman when he was in office. I graduated, he was in office. My tuition more than doubled. Second ball, we voted to cut the Pell Grants by $53 million. When I was there, we busted our butt to raise them by $75 million because it was the low-income students were having more difficulty coming to school. So we expanded access to grants, and we kept costs under control. We went after the MinSCU Higher Ed Office, which I know we both agree on, is bloated. So there's plenty of room to cut. When it comes to tuition and debt, I'd ask you to look at who walks the walk and who talks it. And for the one term I was there, I walked and I walked the line hard as Vice Chair of Higher Ed Committee, and I'm going to do that again if you elect me to send me back to St. Paul.
All right, we're going to move on to our next question. This is going to be directed first to Jim Knoblock. There is a great deal of pressure at the legislature to vote with your political party and the special interests that are funding them. What is your record in voting opposite your political party on bills that have been up for vote in the legislature? You have 2 minutes.
Well, first of all, I do have to respond to a few things Zach said. Yes, I was there during a time of great budget crisis back in the early 2000s. And frankly, I was one of the people that kept higher education from being cut further. If you look back, you will see votes where I proposed more funding than eventually the governor or the Democratic Senate agreed with. And so that was an area that I was trying to struggle and work on. And I, you know, Pell Grants, Zach, I guess I, last I heard, I thought that a Pell Grant was a federal grant. Do you mean something else?
State aid grants.
Okay, well, anyway, they're federal grants, folks. There, in terms of the questions, this is one of the big differences between us. You know, if you look at the last legislative session, I guess I feel I was one of the people that showed an ability to work across party lines and get things done. The one big bill that got done this last year, the supplemental finance bill, was the bill that I was the House author of. It basically had all the different subjects in it except for transportation, bonding, and taxes. And we did get that bill done because I've got a reputation for being able to work across the aisle and get things done. In fact, the Pioneer Press newspaper rated me this last 2 years as having the most independent bipartisan voting record of any Republican. Zach's record when he was in office is that he voted for every single bill that passed the DFL-controlled House. He was only one of two House members that voted for every single bill that passed the DFL-controlled House. So if you are a Democrat and you want someone who's going to vote for every single bill and not exercise his own thinking about it, then you ought to vote for Zach. If you want someone who's more independent and has got a record of being independent, I guess I'd ask for your consideration.
Zach Dorhold, you have the 2 minutes to respond to this question. There's a great deal of pressure at the legislature to vote with your political party and the special interests that are funding them. What is your record in voting opposite your political party on bills that have been up for a vote in the legislature?
That is a good question. If we're running to be bipartisan for bipartisan's sake, we wouldn't be representing what we're trying to represent. I'm not shy of my record. I am a Democrat. I don't try to hide that. When I was there, I voted my conscience and my constituents first before voting for my party. And I will continue to do that. Once again, I'm not shy about my record. I'm not afraid to tell you that I'm progressive, that I'm Democrat. There are several examples of when I did vote against my party. Representative Knobloch refers to this 100% of voting with party that passed the bills. That comparison was made to the then chair of Ways and Means. So you can compare one person, make a lot of statistics. I was the only Democrat of the 25 legislators in the entire 6th congressional district. And I went above and beyond to reach out to my neighboring legislators to make sure that we did things not just for St. Cloud, but for the entire area. And there were plenty of bills that were passed that only had my vote that benefited the entire St. Cloud area. I also carried bills. One that my party angered them was the truck weights bill, which Representative Knobloch carried, and that angered a lot of people in my party. Also voted to keep what was called the Sunset Commission in the bill, which my predecessor had authored, a Republican, and I thought that was a decent idea. I was the only Democrat who voted, the only Democrat who voted against taking that out of that bill. And I worked with Republican Senator John Peterson on many, many different issues. The public-private partnership bill for transportation. You should have seen the emails from a lot of people in my party and some other unions who were just angry. So angry that, how could you put your name on that bill, Zach? Because it was about creating conversation for not just my district, but for our entire St. Cloud area.
Jim Knobloch, you went first on this question, so you get up to a minute to add to your answer.
Well, it's easy to introduce a bill at the legislature and say you're for something and then never have anything happen with the bill and never try to move it or promote it. Again, I would just remind you, going back, if you look at Zach's record, the 2 years he was in, when the Democrats controlled the House of Representatives, he was one of only two House members out of 134 that voted for every single one of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bills that passed the Minnesota House that year. By comparison, myself, a nonpartisan source, St. Paul Pioneer Press newspaper, rated my voting record for the last 2 years as the most independent, most bipartisan voting record of any Republican. So you got the Republicans here, the most conservative extreme ones. You got the Democrats over here. I was here in the middle. So if you want someone, again, who is, I believe, using some independent thinking, listening to your district, doing what he thinks is right, listening to his constituents, and not just walking with what his party wants him to do, I guess I would submit that I'm your guy. And I could give plenty of examples, such as the North Star Corridor that I pushed, where I went against my party.
All right, our third question is going to be directed to Zach Dorhold. The Republican Party has been on the forefront of legislative attempts to limit the rights of the LGBT community. Many states have experienced a severe economic fallout from initiatives like these. Is it fiscally irresponsible to push laws of this kind, and why?
So this would probably be the most striking difference between my opponent and me, is where we stand on supporting those who are different than each other. I was the co-author of the bill that legalized same-sex marriage in Minnesota. I'm not shy of that. I have a degree in marriage and family therapy from Catholic University, and I believe that that brought people together. The bill you're referring to, I believe, in this question, is also known in North Carolina as House Bill 2. And anybody watch ESPN and follow college sports? Okay, a few of you. Then you notice that the NCAA, what do? They pulled their tournament games out of North Carolina because of that bill. Because that bill purposefully treats people whom we perceive to be different than us as lesser. So North Carolina lost $17 million in tax revenue due to those NCAA tournament games being pulled from their state. We talk about these things as social issues, don't we? But they've become more and more, as time has gone on, as economic issues. Whether it's companies pulling from Indiana for their anti-gay bills, or other states, or threatening states to leave. These bills are not just purposefully divisive, but they have created economic dry zones and places where awesome college activity used to happen. North Carolina was known for their big games, and NCAA is not going to be playing their playoff games there because their governor and legislature chose to treat others who they perceive to be different than them as less than equal.
Jim Knobloch, same question. The Republican Party has been on the forefront of legislative attempts to limit the rights of the LGBT community. Many states have experienced severe economic fallout from initiatives like these. Is it fiscally irresponsible to push laws of this kind, and why?
Well, first of all, let me say one thing that I've done for the LGBT community in the past 2 years, and that is that we've had a problem with the Human Rights Office in St. Cloud for a while not being adequately funded. This goes back a number of years. In fact, when I took office, I think we were, or shortly after that, we were down to having one person there one day a month to address human rights issues in the St. Cloud area. And something that I got in the supplemental budget bill that I was the House author of, that I said I was able to get passed into law this year, was an appropriation to hire two full-time people that are now going to be staffing that St. Cloud Human Rights Office. And they're going to work on all sorts of human rights issues. I mean, they're going to be able to work on LGBT discrimination issues, but also racial, religion, other discrimination issues. And so that is something that we've really needed, I think. Protecting human rights is something that government should do, and I'm proud to have been involved in it. The bills that Zach is talking about really is talking about transgender issues. And where we differ is I think that people, yes, transgenders have rights, but there's a long-established right to privacy in this country, too. And right now, what Zach is basically opposed to is a bill that I signed on to that said that if a man, for example, a person who's born a man, decides that he is a woman and wants to go into a woman's locker room and wants to shower next to women in women's locker rooms, that no, that person can't do that. You know, there are no absolute rights in this country. You've got the right to freedom of speech, but you don't have the right to lie about someone and cause them financial harm. You got the right to keep and bear arms, but appropriately not if you've been certified to be mentally ill and dangerous. Transgenders have rights, but other people have rights too. And I think that is appropriate that we pass legislation that says that other people's rights to privacy are protected.
Zach Dorholt, you went first with this question, so you've got up to a minute to add to your original answer.
So here it is. Transgender, people who are transgender have rights, but the bill he's referring to is identical to the bill that passed North Carolina. It's not about privacy. It's about dividing us and distracting us from issues that really affect us. I'm a therapist at a mental health center. I've worked with
members of the LGBT community, LGBTQIAP, all of them. And time after time, I come across one or another who's been kicked out of their house or shamed by their community or their church simply because of who they are. Many of them have taken drastic measures to end their own life. This bill is harmful, it is downright mean, and it is disrespectful to everyone here.
All right, we're going to move on to our... fourth and last question, and we'll start off with Jim Knobloch. You have 2 minutes to respond to this question. Legislators are often called upon to set priorities between funding for college tuition and other projects, such as the new $90 million legislative office building that was recently built. Did you support funding this building project instead of putting college tuition first? And if so, why or why not?
Well, as the budget chair down at the legislature, we have way more requests come to us for funding various worthy projects than we have funds available. And so to me, you certainly are looking for projects that are unworthy to not fund so you can put them towards good uses. Now, I wasn't in the legislature when the new $90 million legislative office building funding was approved. Zach was, and he voted for it, but I was very opposed to it. I, in fact, tried to stop it with a lawsuit I was involved in. You know, we don't have any more senators or House members than we had 50 years ago. We don't need a new $90 million plush legislative office building. We just don't. And, you know, that's another difference between Zach and I. I mean, Zach voted for it. I made it quite clear that I wouldn't have voted for it. I want to prioritize spending towards important things, higher education being one, education, E-12 being another. You know, there's lots of other priorities that the state has, but this is one thing that was a big waste of money that should have never been built.
Zach Dorholt, you've got 2 minutes to respond to the same question. Legislators are often called upon to set priorities between funding for college tuition and other projects, such as the new $90 million legislative office building that was recently built. Did you support funding this building project instead of putting college tuition first? And if so, why or why not?
Simple answer that, yes, I support it. It's a reason for accessibility. And it was one of the few things that folks get pulled out of what was, I believe, a good bill to distract, once again, from the real issues. This is the building issue has been an issue that's been kicked down the can for a long time. And it's a complex issue. So I could spend 5 minutes explaining the reasons we needed, but bottom line was accessibility. Running out of room at the Capitol building where the Senate was housed. You couldn't visit with senators. We're talking people use wheelchairs or other devices, mobility devices. It was completely inaccessible. So if you want access to your legislators, we made it easier for you. And at the same time, I froze tuition and added $75 million to the state aid grant program. So you got a two for one there.
Right, Jim Knobloch, you've got up to a minute to add to your original answer.
Well, first of all, the state capitol and the state office building located next to it, where a lot of the other legislative offices already are, and which had room for the offices that are now in the new legislative office building, already had handicapped accessibility. But I will agree with Zach that the Capitol needed more accessibility than it had. But some years ago, there was a significant renovation project passed to renovate the Capitol. I think just about everyone agrees that we needed to put some more money into renovating it. It hadn't been renovated for a long time. And as part of that, we were adding some additional accessibility. But we didn't need to spend $90 million on a new legislative office building to have more accessibility in the Capitol, a different building. Yes, we need accessibility in the Capitol. We mostly had it. We spent the money to make sure we had it. We didn't need to waste $90 million on a new building where the money could have gone to other things that were more important.
All right, that concludes the question part of this debate. So we're going to go down to closing statements. So we'll start with Zach Dorholt, you've got up to 2 minutes to give your closing statement.
2 minutes. Yeah, it seemed like a long time. So, once again, Zach running for House District 14B. Where you're sitting here today is where I sat for my undergrad, which was community development and film studies. I received a master's in rehabilitation counseling. Went on to get another graduate certificate degree in marriage and family therapy. My full-time job is dedicated to helping people improve their lives. And that's what I believe, as late Senator Paul Wellstone says, politics is about the improvement of people's lives. Representative Knobloch and I, we're not the government. Okay? Government is not a spectator sport. It involves everyone here to be involved. Whether you're a student, a mom, dad, sister, brother, it requires everybody to be involved. And if elected, I'm going to make sure that we prioritize inclusivity. You know, we prioritize some campaign finance so all these outside mailers bombarding you don't do that anymore. I know it's getting annoying. I want that outside money gone, out of politics. We need campaign finance reform now. And I'm going to make sure that, bottom line, every time we look at the numbers when a budget is put in front of me, that we never forget the lives that are attached to those dollars. This is more, so much more about just dollars and cents down in the Capitol. I think I did a pretty good job. Lost by 69 votes, not giving up, and appreciate your support. I'll be hanging around afterwards to answer any questions you have. I'm a professional listener, so I'd rather hear what you have to say than stand up here with a microphone.
Jim Knobloch, too. Jim Knobloch, 2 minutes for closing statement.
Sure. Well, thank you also, everyone, for coming, and I really appreciate you're coming and getting educated and being involved here, and I will also be staying afterwards to see if people have any questions they want to ask of me. You know, St. Cloud State has a real special place in my heart. I talked to you a little bit about how I had, you know, a few classes here as an undergrad, but my parents actually met here. My parents actually met at St. Cloud State. In fact, my mom used to live in Lawrence Hall, and it was really special for me when Lawrence Hall needed to be renovated, that I actually got to carry the bill that had the money for renovating Lawrence Hall, the place that my mom used to live once upon a time. And as I mentioned before, and there's materials in the back on it too, I've been involved over the years in doing a tremendous number of projects here at St. Cloud State. I am the author of the Eastman Hall bill too. I'd really like to see that get done. We passed it in the House. It didn't make it through the Senate. I wish the governor would call us back to a special session so that we could accomplish that, but only the governor can call us back, and so that's really his call. But if you do reelect me, you can certainly be confident that I will be fighting for St. Cloud State. And as I mentioned too, I'm someone who works with both sides of the aisle. I've got a demonstrated record of working with both sides of the aisle. This last year, the one major finance bill that got done and passed into law was the one that I was the House author of. But we had a lot of good things for it for our community. I talked about the Human Rights Bill, but we also had early childhood funding, significant early childhood funding for District 742. We had increased funding to combat sex trafficking, which has really been a scourge in this community. We had a lot of really great things in that bill that are helping our community. And my record is one of working across party lines. My record is one of voting with the Democrats when I think that that's appropriate, or voting against the Republicans if I think that's appropriate. And I'd appreciate your willingness to consider me as someone who really listens to both sides and does what is right. Thanks a lot for coming today.